I'd like to take a look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and starting at verse 8. It's going to serve as the basis of our lesson tonight. Remember Christ Jesus, risen from the dead, descendant of David, according to my gospel, for which I suffer hardship even to imprisonment as a criminal, but the word of God is not imprisoned. For this reason I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen, so that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, and with it eternal glory. It is a trustworthy statement. For if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. One writer that got me thinking about this mentioned this particular statement, and he said, you know, in this statement that Paul makes from verses 11 and 13 is basically a summary of all the gospel. And I found that interesting way to look at it, because it starts out saying, if we died with him. And that's related to Romans chapter 6. And if we go back there and look at Romans chapter 6 for a moment. Romans chapter 6, and looking at verse 3, it says, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized in Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin, for he who has died is freed from sin. So in baptism, we have a sharing of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That death leads to life. We are now new, different here on earth. We are new creatures, as verse 4 says. A life that is existing after physical death, in verse 5. And I think that's what Paul's later referring to when he in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 11. Because he speaks of living in the future, but we died in the past. You know, he didn't say if we die in the future. He says if we have died, and all of us have died who are Christians, then we will live in the future with Christ. So he's not talking about physical death like he would in, say, like 1 Corinthians 15. And in verse 31, I affirm, brethren, by the boasting in which in you, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. So he's not talking about, in a sense, a spiritual death, where he's constantly, in a sense, dying. He's given his life to Christ. He's talking about an event that happened in the past. He can't be talking about the sinner's prayer either, if you think about it. Because the sinner's prayer is not a death. You know, only baptism fits that metaphor that he's using here. That if we have died with him, we will live with him. And thus, basically, Paul's indicating the necessity of baptism for salvation. But it's interesting, in that little line, he doesn't mention baptism or salvation directly. But he proves it, that it is necessary, or just states it is necessary. He goes on to say that if we endure, and there he's referring to something is similar to what James spoke about in James chapter 1 and verse 12. James chapter 1 and verse 12 said, "Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who loved him." The endurance we're discussing is an endurance through trials. If we endure, it's not about enduring having to attend a service, worship service for 40 years. That's not the type of endurance he's talking about. It's about being faithful when faithfulness is difficult to achieve. And so that includes religious persecution, or it's even anything that grinds us down, makes us want to basically give up, humbles us, or makes us feel worthless. And yet, if we endure, we will receive a crown of life, a reward. And it's a crown. We're enduring something that will bring us down if we let it, but we hang on. God's offering us something that's going to raise us up. We're going to be lifted up to reign with our Lord over all the difficulties that have existed in this world. He goes on to say, though, if we deny him, and there I think he's referring to Christ's statement back in Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10 and in verse 32, "Therefore everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven." The world pressures Christians to sever their ties with their Lord. But again, the point is we cannot fold. Imagine being called on to confess Christ while threatened with imprisonment or even death. That is what the gospel is about. If we deny our Lord, the threat here is that we will be denied by him. But think about that. The idea then of once saved, always saved doesn't fit. Because if we choose to deny him, he'll deny us. Our salvation depends on our lifting up Christ before those who hate him. And it's for us as well. We have to think about the fact that we exist. We live for Christ. The first two were in positive terms. This one's in a negative term. And then he states also that if we're faithless, and I think there he's talking about Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And look at verse 25. "See to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if those who did not escape when they refused him were warned, him who warned them on earth, how much less will we escape who turned away from him who warns from heaven? And his voice shook the earth then, but now he has promised, saying, 'Once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven.'" This expression, "yet once more," denotes the removing of those things which can be shaken as of created things, so that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. "Therefore, since we have received a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire." The warning here is not for non-believers. Is not for those who just pretend to be Christians. And we have a world full of them. The warning exists because believers might lose their trust. But what Paul states is that any faithlessness on our part doesn't change who God is. God has always been faithful, and he will remain faithful. And so that then answers the question, well, what happens if we slip and deny him or fall away, yet later recover through God's mercy? What happens to us? He remains faithful. Take a look at 1 John chapter 1 and in verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we become faithless, God remains faithful. He still offers us a chance to turn around, to change our life. I told Gabe when I was writing these sermons this week, he said, I got two sermons written, and both of them came out short. But I have what I want to say down, and it's kind of hard to put some extra padding in there when you made the point you want to make. But the point here is the gospel is not about an easy coasting into heaven. The gospel is about effort. It's not always going to be smooth. It's not always going to be easygoing. Any one of us can fall. But we have to be resolved to remain steadfast until the end. Take a look at Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3, starting at verse 12. Take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it's still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. There we go. Now I got it caught up. I have to see that it isn't my life that I live. The gospel is about the fact that I live for Christ. In Galatians chapter 2, Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. That is the call of the gospel. To dedicate ourselves to serve God through thick, through thin, through every circumstance of life, to hang on to be a child of God. And then God will reward us for doing that. I know it's a very short lesson, but it's the point I wanted to make. I hope you'll think about these things. If there's any here today who's not yet a child of God, there's no better time to put on Christ than the opportunity we have right now, because future's not guaranteed. And if there is anyone here who is a child of God, would like to pray as their brother on your behalf, why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song that was selected.